Dwight, thank you very much for leading us in that song. You know, I was sitting there thinking just a moment ago, you know, when we get to heaven, we won't have to be singing actually about Tell Me About Heaven, because it's in the abstract at this moment. You and I do not know exactly what heaven is going to be like. Well, we can read the picturesque views that John depicts for us in the book of Revelation. And he says, however, that when we stand before God in that hour, we'll be singing the song of Moses and the Lamb by. But we won't be singing about heaven in prospect, because heaven will eventuate for us when we leave this world. And how thankful and grateful we are that that will be the case. We're thankful that you're here tonight. And, you know, the Bible is a book that has for us precept upon precept. And God uses small things for great purposes. Have you ever thought about all the little things that God uses? You know, we always say, here a little, there a little. But you know, there, it's amazing how God can take small things and maximize them and bring great things from those little things. You know, our president-elect Donald Trump started what he called the MAGA movement, you know, Make America Great Again. And I thought a lot about that, and I thought, you know, it's not something that you do overnight, but it's something that you do gradually, and I hope the American public will understand that. And you start with small things, just little things God uses. How he could use a little acorn to grow a mighty oak tree. And I've thought a lot of times about that oak tree that stands over there in front of the activity building. It's been there a long, long time. Factually speaking, I can't remember when it was not there. And I've been here 53 years. I don't know how old that tree is. But I know one thing, that it started with just a little acorn, and that was it. But God grew that mighty oak out there from a small thing. In the book of Zechariah 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, despise not the day of small things. Sometimes the things that we think that are so insignificant are meaningless, are things that are so majestic, and things that will be majestic. You know, you take a little seed and you plant it in the ground and it grows big things. Well, that's what he's saying here. It's always astounded me that you can take a microchip and put it in a computer or a watch or a phone, and it can do what it does today. Proficiently, stuff that we would never, ever have imagined. Automakers, and by the way, they've started making those chips now that go in the cars. Remember when you couldn't even buy a car, you couldn't even find a used car because they were making them in China and we couldn't get them, and especially during COVID, it was impossible, next to impossible, to be able to find a car because there were no chips that were made available. Well, again, little things mean a lot. Little things, first of all, mean a lot to God. I know sometimes we do things and we think, well, that's no big issue, it's no big thing. But, you know, I was talking, we mentioned this morning about Jerry out there power washing that sidewalk in the building, and I said, I walked out there to where it was, and I said, you know, that's a great thing that you're doing. We really, really appreciate it. And he said, oh, it's no big thing. It's just a little thing. And to him, it was a little thing, but to others, it was a great thing. You know, Zechariah actually asked this question in Zechariah 4. Instead of it being an exclamatory remark, he asked it in question form. And he says, who hath despised the day of small things? Now, the reason he did that was to get your attention. Because we don't think anything of small things, little things. But, you know, I've thought so much about this building, even the little things that are done around this building by so many different people. You never hear their name, but they do it day in and day out. I think about our church sign out there, just a little thing, but Dwight does the best job, and I mean this sincerely, that we have ever had anyone do with that sign out there. And we get more feedback from people. And, sometimes people show their favoritism to it and say, boy, that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. Sometimes people have taken issue with that, with the church sign. And I say, you need to call Dwight Franklin, 922-3251. Now, but he does a great job. And it's just, to him, it's a little thing. But it probably creates more attention for us than any one thing. You know, there's so many Bible examples where God used a man to accomplish great things. Think about Noah, and the young people are going to be presenting the story of Noah at the Christmas Fellowship this year in the book of Genesis 6 through actually chapter 9. God used one man by the name of Moses to lead the children of Israel from their bondage of slavery down in Egypt to the great and wonderful promised land. God used one man to rally Israel against the Philistines. His name was David, just a young boy, 1 Samuel chapter 17. But what he did was so majestic. Just five little stones, and he only needed one. Someone said the reason he got the others is because Goliath had several other brothers also, and he was ready for all of them. And that may have been the case, I don't know. God used a woman by the name of Esther, who became a queen, to save the Jews from a deadly plot. And if you've ever been up to Branson and seen that play about Esther, it really is a great play. And we showed that actually to our ladies' Bible class that meets on Tuesday. Great story. Jesus spoke about a woman, a widow woman, who had nothing at all but two pence, and she came by and she cast it into the treasury of Almighty God. Jesus unfolds the story for us here in Mark 12. He said, a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amounted to a cent. And calling his disciples unto him, he said unto them, truly I say unto you, that this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. Isn't it something that God could just take a small cup of water? You ever been thirsty on a hot day? Just a glass of water. It's wonderful. It's gotten to where a lot of times today people go out to a restaurant, it's so expensive that people just get a glass of water instead of getting a drink, you know, because water is so good for your body. You are about 90% of water your body is, believe it or not, Matthew 10 and verse 42. Just a cup of cold water, Jesus said, will not go without its reward. I've come to believe that your giving isn't based on the size of your wallet, but on the size of your heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God is honored with small things. But number two, little things mean a lot not only to God, but little things mean a lot to other people. You know, God used many little things. He could even take a little child. And don't you know that that mother and that father of that little child was so impressed when Jesus takes that child and he sets that child in the midst of all of those that he gathered there. And he said, unless you become like little children and become converted, you shall in no wise enter in to the kingdom of heaven. You know, the disciples really were fighting. What prompted this little thing was the fact that they were fighting among themselves about who was the greatest in the kingdom of God. Sometimes people think they're greater, but this morning it is so true, as I pointed out, that we're all valuable unto God. But he took this little child in Matthew chapter 18. They came to him saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And he called a little child unto him. Don't you know that child was thinking, me? You sure you want me? And the little child goes over to where Jesus is, and he set him in the midst of them and said, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, he said, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. No wonder the book of Isaiah is so profound in Isaiah 11 and verse 6, where it says, a little child shall lead them. A little child. You know, sometimes little children can get parents to come to Jesus. I've seen that happen a lot of times in life, and there is a reason for it. Why, God could take a small boy in his lunch, and I was telling you, the point here being that little things bless other people. Think about all those hungry people that were gathered on the hillside outside of Jerusalem. Didn't know where they were going to get anything to eat. I mean, they were so mesmerized by the teaching of Jesus Christ and what he said. But the time came, and Philip asked the question, what are we going to do to feed all these people? I mean, it's lunch, you know, and we don't have anything to feed these people. But Jesus could take a small boy's lunch. And think about this little boy. Just a little thing, but tremendous impact on the life of other people. When his mother sent him out the door that morning for the day, whatever he was going to do, she had packed him a little lunch with fish and bread. And he goes off, and little does he know that God is going to work a miracle and that he is going to feed thousands, John chapter 6, and thousands were fed with just one small boy's lunch. And then they ended up taking up 12 basketfuls of fish. You know, Jesus did a lot of things. He used painted word pictures as well. He told stories. I enjoy doing that as well. He shocked people. Jesus crafted memorable sayings, and many of them are used even in the world today. He asked questions. He used object lessons. He could take a lily of the field and say, even King Solomon was not arrayed like one of these, O ye of little faith. Jesus used repetition. He did. You know, sometimes people hear people pray at the Lord's table and maybe they use repetitious words. And they think, well, you know, I wonder if that's just words or they're really meaning what they're saying. Jesus did not condemn repetition. For he was repetition. When you go through the Gospels, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what we call the Synoptic Gospels, you'll find one story mentioned over and over again. We've been doing a study of the parables on Sunday morning here in our adult Bible class. And it is amazing how that happens. But Jesus told one story after another. He used many, many things to convey great thoughts, object lessons. But God used many little things, and parables are great because, think about it, he talks about the parable of the sower and the tares in Matthew chapter 13, or the mustard seed, little leaven, yeast, and the treasure in Matthew chapter 13. Seven times does he give a parable in that one chapter 13. He talks about the fig tree, he talks about the lost sheep, lost money, lost son, Pharisee and publican, the rich fool and the Samaritan. You can see why Jesus used those and so many, many more when you read the Bible. He used many people like you and like I or like me. I mean, he talked about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Gideon and Shamgar and Ehud and Deborah, who was a judge, and Peter and Andrew and James and John and Timothy and Philip and Barnabas and Silas and Titus. All of these people, in their eyes, they thought they were insignificant. Even the selection of the apostles, the 12, think about it. They changed our world forever. Forever. I think of Simon, or perhaps the jailer, those conversions in the book of Acts with the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, or Dorcas in the 9th chapter, Phoebe, Claudia, Priscilla, Epaphroditus. I think about Apollos, or Aquila, or Philemon, or Onesimus, Apphia, and Archippus, Lydia and her household. These are not just names. These are people that played a tremendous part in the story of the Christ. I think of Cornelius and his household in the book of Acts chapter 10, and so many more. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He did a lot of great things. And if Jesus could use little things to challenge our identity and who we are, then surely he can bless others. And shouldn't we do the same? We should. We should enjoy the little things that God has placed here on this earth. You know, little things can be so destructive. It does. Sometimes people get divorces, not over major things, but little things, small, what you consider to be insignificant, little things. Not only do they mean a lot to God, not only do they mean a lot to others, little things will mean a lot to you. And you just stop and think about it. When people have done little things for you, what do you appreciate? Who do you appreciate more than anything else? It's people, maybe, that did little things for you. You got a little card in the mail when you were sick. Maybe somebody dropped by to see you when you were down and out. Maybe somebody gave you a call when you needed a lift, as we were talking about this morning. You cannot bless and not be blessed, for when you live for the purpose of healing broken hearts and comfort troubled souls, relieve the afflicted, and give hope to the hopeless and meaning to the lives of others, you provoke the kindness of our God. I like Galatians. Galatians is a great book. Not a lot of people that read the book of Galatians. People choose to read other books on Christian living, but the book of Galatians is a great book. And in the 6th chapter, actually in verse 7, the Bible says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. What you put out there comes back to you. Little things. And the happiest people in the world are those who are on the recipient, or the recipients, or the receiving end of those little things. No, it's the people that give them. It's the great blessing that they receive. And sometimes when you deny people the opportunity to do things for other people, then you miss a blessing. You do. They are not what we call random acts of kindness. I don't think anything's random. But we talk about it being random acts of kindness. A smile from someone, a kind word, a little act of love, a card from a friend, as I said, a call when you're six, a text when you need to be loved and nurtured and cared, an embrace when you're hurting, and many, many more. You know, I'm a hugger. I hug people because I love people. And sometimes people in this world need a hug. And no one needs one any more than the person who feels they have none left to give. little things. Just little things. I think of Tabitha or Dorcas in the book of Acts chapter 9, who made coats for those who had none. For in Acts 9, the Bible says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that when she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber, for as much as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would come and not delay, but come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping." You know, weeping has always been a sign of love, hasn't it? Remember when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus? And the Bible in John 11 and verse 35 says that Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in all the Bible, but yet one of the most powerful. Jesus wept. And you know what the people said around him who were watching that and observing it with cautious eyes? They said, "Oh, how he loved him." Tears are the emotions that God uses to bathe our hearts. The women were weeping and showing coats and garments which Dorcas had made for them while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand. I've thought a lot about that little statement. You know, to hold someone's hand when they're sick or be with them. I've been with them many, many times when they drew their last breath. Holding their hand. "And lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all of Joppa. And many believed in the Lord." Think about it. They were weeping and showing all the things that she had done while she was with them. Just little things, Dorcas would probably have said. When they said, "Oh, this is a beautiful coat." "Oh, it's nothing." Little things. Who, when Dorcas or Tabitha? Who was she? We don't know a whole lot about her. She was a disciple. Usually in the Greek, when you talk about disciples, you talk about mathetes or mathetria, which actually is a Greek word. It's a feminine Greek word. And it's the only time that it's used in the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? With all the great women of the Bible, she is the only female who is specifically called a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 12 that we are to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. And life is really an echo. What you send out comes back. And what you sow, you will reap. And what you give, you get. And what you see in others exists in you. You can't litter negativity everywhere and then wonder why you've got a trashy life. "For we are to God," 2 Corinthians 2 and 15, "the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those of us who are perishing." Someone said, enjoy the little things in life, for someday you will realize they were the big things. You know, through the years and speaking at memorial services, it's kind of unique. And Ben and I have done that many times together. But it's always nice to be able to get up and say things about the deceased that no one else would know. And they wouldn't tell you. Sowing to the flesh reaps corruption, and sowing to the Spirit reaps life everlasting. If you ever wonder if you are important to God's work, be reminded of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Think about it. Where did Jesus go to reach out to get disciples? Down at the seashore. Fishermen, carpenters, tax collectors. Think about it. 1 Peter 4:10, every man hath received his gift, so minister the same one to another. If it's a big thing, do it. If it's a little thing, do it. And the same one to another. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Success is the sum of small efforts that are repeated day in and day out. Just small things, little things. Jesus was a little baby one time. And probably when he was born in Bethlehem that night, people said, oh, it's nothing. Just a baby. Just a baby that was born. I have come to believe that sometimes God will put a Goliath in your life for you to find the David who is within you. When Saul wanted to equip David with armor, he said, I come to Goliath in the name of the mighty God. He didn't need the armor. So I hope today you will allow this day to be a special day for you. Let it be the day that you give up who you've been for who you can become. Little things do mean a lot. It's a lesson that we all ought to remember, and I hope you will. If you're not a Christian tonight, it's a little thing to be baptized. You know why I know it's a little thing to be baptized? But it's something we ought to do. Because God commanded it. Remember the story of Naaman in the Old Testament, how they told him to dip in the River Jordan 7 times? He said, well, I thought that God would tell me to do some great thing. But he looked upon dipping in the River Jordan as something that was small and insignificant. But when he went down under that water on the 7th time and he emerged from the water, his skin was like that of a baby. The leprosy was gone. Gone. And if you're here tonight and you'd like to have your sin removed, don't despise the day of a small thing like baptism, but act upon it while we stand and while we sing.